gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 1 Corinthians 10, let's stand this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, as we continue our preaching through this book. I'm going to be timed out for a couple of weeks after today. So when we get back, we'll continue. When I get back, we'll continue. But Brother Don Kelderhaus, if you'll notice in the bulletin, is going to be preaching. Brother Melvin Williams will be preaching. Then when I get back, we were able to have Brother Sam Davison with us on the 14th. Look forward to that. And so then I'll be back to preaching. So I will be preaching two different places while I'm gone. I'll be preaching a mission conference. And then I'll be preaching for Brother Daniel Ligon down in the Tucson area. So one in Phoenix, a whole week of meetings, and then one for Brother Daniel. And in between, we're going to take some vacation, Robin and I, together, and then with some friends also. So we got every gamut. We got preaching, meeting with friends, spending some time by ourselves, and so just be in prayer for that. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 15, Paul says, after saying to us, flee from idolatry, but he's not done. Flee from idolatry, he says. That was the last message we preached. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything? Now, he just has not done with this idea of idol worship. And he goes, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? The title of the message this morning, I want you to do two things. I'm going to give you the title of the message, and then as I have prayer, I want to remind you, I want you to take a ribbon and place it in your Bible to 2 John and then Deuteronomy 32. 2 John and Deuteronomy 32, because when I come to those passages, I want to be able to move right into them. And just so you'll know, when I say Deuteronomy 32, that means we're almost done. I'm just giving you something to hope for. That's all I'm doing. So 2 John and Deuteronomy 32. And then here's the title of the message this morning. Don't fellowship with the devil. Don't fellowship with the devil. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God, the assembling together with God's people. God, I think that I will not take that for granted ever again after going through COVID 2020. And I just don't take for granted, Lord, that we're together as God's people gathered around the Word of God. And then one of those great aspects or byproducts is the idea of fellowshipping with God's people. And while I'm very thankful for live stream, it's hard to fellowship with somebody through a television screen, but when I have my brothers and my sisters in Christ here, we can speak to one another and fellowship one with another. And Lord, now we see this aspect here of Paul talking about idol worship and fleeing from it, getting away from it, the example of Israel and the assets that they were able to have to get away from things that they shouldn't be around. And now we've been reminded that the assets that we have today is the Spirit of God that lives within each believer, the church of God, where we're able to gather and assemble together. The pastor of the church, the preaching of God's Word, the inerrant, infallible Word of God, these are all assets that we're able to have in our life to keep us away from the negativity of sin and wickedness and idolatry that comes in not just the form of little idols that are worshiped, but things, ideas, relationships, all kinds of things can be an idol, and we can sacrifice our time, our energy, and our resources to idols we don't even realize. But now we find out, not only are we to flee from those idols, but now we find out that to fellowship with idols and false worship is actually to fellowship with the devil himself. So I pray that we would look at this passage of Scripture this morning, be convicted about the idea that anything in our life that is an idol, we're actually fellowship and sacrificing to demons or devils or the devil himself. And we would know that that would not be pleasing to thee, because you are a God of jealousy, as also mentioned in the text. Bless now the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing this morning. Don't fellowship with the devil is what Paul is succinctly telling the church at Corinth, as they have fallen away or fallen back into many idolatrous positions that they've had. Now, they might go to a temple or to an idol and think that they would be okay, but they're not okay. And actually, what Paul is going to tell us today is he's going to tell us that when we fellowship with an idol, or when we sacrifice to an idol, we're actually fellowshipping with the devil. And he's going to use Israel as an example again in our text. He's going to use the Lord's Supper or communion. He's going to use that as an example about fellowshipping with the devil. Now, one of the great byproducts of being saved and being a part of a church family is fellowship. I mean, if you don't enjoy fellowship with believers who believe like you, something is wrong. And when we go out into the world every week and we work our job, and boy, if there's one person that thinks like us or believes like us based on the Word of God, that's a blessing. But the truth is most of our week and our work week, if you're a man and you leave every day your family, whatever it might be, and you go into the world and you work, you're not necessarily fellowshipping with people of like faith and practice. But when you come to church, that's the oasis in the desert. That's the place that we can look forward to on several times a week, especially as we are going to find out in the Ten Commandments that one of those Ten Commandments, that God actually sets aside a day of a week for us to set aside as God's people to worship Him. And to the Jewish people, that was that Sabbath day. For us, it is what we call the Lord's Day, the Resurrection Day. Do you realize that every Sunday when we come together to fellowship and to gather around the Word of God and to preach the Bible and to be challenged from the Word of God, we're also recognizing the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Because this is Resurrection Sunday. Easter Sunday is not the only Resurrection Sunday. Now, that's the special occasion day that we are reminded that that was the day that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, of course. But really, we do that every Sunday. And we come together. And as a pastor, I'm just telling you that it's been very hard to know that we've not been fellowshipping together because of COVID and, you know, all of those things. But as a preacher, it is a blessing to watch people before and after service do what? Fellowship. Fellowship together. And again, if you do not enjoy the fellowship with other believers, something is terribly wrong in your own life. And that's a very good sign that you're backslidden in some way. But to think of it like that, to say, okay, well, if I don't enjoy fellowship with other believers, something is wrong with me. But having fellowship with darkness is also very wrong. Then let me go a little bit further. Fellowshipping with the devil is very, very wrong. Fellowshipping with the devil is very, very wrong. And Paul is going to tell us in the text this morning, or as I've read it, he's going to tell us that idols in our life are in reality fellowshipping with the devil. That's why he would say that in verse 20 that the Gentiles sacrifice, when they're sacrificing to those idols and not to God, I would not that you should have, here's what he says, you're fellowshipping with devils. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and also the cup of the devil. Cannot do that. Jesus would say you cannot serve God and you cannot serve mammon. You cannot serve both. These are ideas of idolatrous worship. And as Paul has just wrote to us, or wrote to the church at Corinth, and what I say, preached to us about fleeing idols, he's saying this, run away from anything that would cause you not to worship Jesus Christ in the right way. Run away from it, flee from it. And idolatry actually leads us into a fellowship with the devil, according to verse 20. Now, I just want to give a snapshot here and make you understand that I'm not talking about necessarily a carved out little image that people would worship. Now, God made it very clear in the Ten Commandments and the first two commandments. He also was very heavily about this idea of carving out images and idol worship, because that was their culture. Their culture that they were going to move into, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites. God said, I'm going to give you a land that flows with milk and honey, but I'm going to give you this land. And inside of that land, there's all kinds of idolatry where people have taken their own image of what God is or who God is, and they worship that image. And God would say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But what we need to recognize in this culture and that we live in, while we may not take an idol and carve it out and set it on our mantle and worship it, my friend, we've got to understand that in this American culture that we live in, that idolatry comes in many forms. Right. Now, idolatry is something that you would put ahead of God. Right. Now, let me just tell you some of the things that we're dealing with in our culture right now. People are worshiping comfort as a god. People are worshiping fear as a god. I'm telling you, that's a big one right now. People are afraid. They're afraid. And we don't know that fear is not of God. Fear brings confusion. And we're to be people of faith. That doesn't mean that that doesn't mean that I'm to run out in front of a vehicle knowing, oh, I have, no, that's not, doesn't mean that I'm not trying to take precautions or anything, but I'm saying to you, the culture that we live in right now is very fearful. Do you know there's more suicides that have taken place in the last year than many, many years in the past? And it's many of it's because fear, the fear of the unknown. Relationships can cause idolatry. People worshiping people worshiping children, people worshiping relationships, people worshiping money, that's idolatry. People worshiping education, their career, material goods. And God's going to say, you cannot serve God and idols. You cannot do it. Because when you serve an idol, whether whatever form it comes in, you're actually having fellowship with the devil. And fellowship is one of the greatest byproducts of having a relationship with God. And I've said this before, I've been saved since I was 24 years old. I am now 60 years old. Do not ask me to tell you how many years that is, because I don't have my calculator with me. And I don't want to have to use my fingers and my toes in front of everybody. So about that long. And I can say this honestly, that the church families, I've only been a member of three churches, the church I got saved in and two that I've pastored over the last 31 years or so, that in those churches, I'm closer in relationship and fellowship in many cases than I am to my own flesh and blood family. Doesn't mean I don't love my family, doesn't mean we don't get together. But I'm just telling you, the nature of the fellowship that I enjoy with God's people in a church setting is unbelievable as far as what God has blessed us with. Amen. And then God would turn around and say, Brother Jeff Abels, that if you allow something in your life that you would worship and put before me and your salvation, you are actually fellowshipping with the devil. That brings hair on the back of my neck. Now, I'm going to tell you, the devil doesn't like to be exposed. That's right. But here's what you understand. The devil wants to be worshipped. Yeah. And there's people that actually worship the devil. I understand that. I mean demonic worship. Yeah. But the devil knows that most people, maybe while they may not bow down and worship him as Satan, if he can get them to worship something other than God, then he realizes that you're actually fellowshipping with him. Idolatry is demonic, according to the text. The thing that they would sacrifice to, and I want you to think about this, they would go and they would sacrifice to these idols they'd gotten saved out of. Now, while that idol has nothing, you understand, the idol is nothing that they would worship. Has no ears to hear, even though it's got carved out ears. Has nose to smell, even though they might give it a nose. It has no personality whatsoever. It doesn't have anything. It can't hear, it can't smell, it can't see, it can't listen to your prayers. And while they would sacrifice to these idols, there's no spiritual power in them. Plus, the idol itself in a physical form has no power. However, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Just go back two chapters and let me remind you of this. Look at this. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that the idol is nothing in the world, and there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us, we understand, we have knowledge. We understand there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by him are all things, and we by him. We know that. We know that there's nothing in an idol. But I want you to listen to me. While those things are nothing in themselves, while they in themselves are nothing, the idol, what is behind the idol is something. It's the devil. He is behind idol worship. Verse number 20 says this, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice..." Now, let me stop right there. If you sacrifice something other than God, according to this, it goes on to say, they sacrifice to devils. Well, preacher, I'm on good ground. But listen, people will sacrifice time and money and effort and their whole being, in many cases, to their form of idolatry, which could be comfort or fear or relationship or money or education and career. Now, do not leave here and say that I said there's anything wrong with education. And if you have an education, you have to spend time doing that, but you don't have to worship it. You don't have to. Money, there's nothing wrong with money. In fact, it takes money to pay your light bill, buy groceries. But it's when you worship it. When you worship it as a God. There's nothing wrong with your career until you start worshiping it. When you go away from the things of God and you worship something else, here's what God said. You cannot serve God and idols. And in fact, when you do that, you're sacrificing to demons. When worshipers believe an idol represents something, Satan sends one of his demons along to act out that imagery of the God of whatever it is that you're thinking about. There is never a God behind an idol, but there's always the spiritual force of Satan himself, because he doesn't want you to worship God. And he may not be able to get you to fall down and worship him, but if he can get you to fall down and worship anything else besides God, he says, hey, God said you're fellowshipping with the devil. That's why Paul told the church at Ephesus in chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And Paul is giving us instruction to flee from idolatry and don't fellowship with the devil. Fellowship indicates friendship. I love fellowshipping with God's people. I love fellowshipping with my friends I love fellowshipping with my church family. I love fellowship with my wife because fellowship indicates friendship. It indicates an association. It indicates an agreement. I agree with this. I agree with this church. I agree with these people. I agree with my wife most of the time. And if we don't, we're out of fellowship. But if we do, we're in fellowship. And everybody knows this about me, if you've known me. I enjoy fellowship around golf with my friends because that's where I can laugh and smile. But it's with guys. That most time I play guys when I in close association with them. I play with them not only for the fun of golf and the recreation of it, but you know what? The fellowship. And we even have a joke among the 10 guys that I usually play with. If we're playing bad golf, we say, well, it's just for the fellowship. That's a joke. I mean, that's what we say. Because even if you're playing bad golf, you can still enjoy fellowship with each other. And God says, if you put something ahead of me, if you put something as an idol, you're fellowshipping with the devil. I enjoy fellowshipping with Robin. You know what that means? That means we enjoy being together. We're in agreement together. And Paul doesn't want believers to be in fellowship with idolatries, with idolatry, with the world of unbelief. So he devotes his instruction to us this morning in this text about the dangers and the problems of fellowshipping with idols. And for us, that means fellowshipping with sin or fellowshipping with wickedness or fellowship with darkness. Don't fellowship with things that are wrong and sinful and don't glorify God. And the Ten Commandments, by the way, gives us some instructions on how not to fellowship with the devil. I'll just go down that list. You fellowship with, if you're a liar, you're fellowshipping with the devil. If you are coveting, you're fellowshipping with the devil. If you're killing, you're fellowshipping with the devil. If you're disrespecting your parents, you're fellowshipping with the devil. You understand what I'm saying? But he doesn't use that example. Rather, he uses two examples. He uses the Lord's Supper example, and then he uses Israel again. And we've already seen that he uses examples of Israel in verse 11. These things have happened unto them for in samples that they are written for our admonition upon whom the end of the worlds are come. So there's all kinds. So don't not read the Old Testament, but learn from the Old Testament. I mean, there's some times you can learn, hey, look what happens if you worship idols. Eventually you'll go into Babylonian captivity. This is what happens when you don't worship God. So anyhow, uses the Lord's Supper as an example. Now listen, look at verse 16. And he says, now listen, I want to talk to you about the Lord's Supper. I want to talk to you about the cup of blessing that we bless. Is this not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is this not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread, one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now you cannot use this in any universal way. This is a local assembly of people that he's talking to. And the Lord's Supper or communion is a church ordinance just like baptism is. And he says this. Now I want you to think about this. And by the way, chapter 11 has also been called the Lord's Supper chapter, and they were having all kinds of problems with the Lord's Supper, just like they were having problems with divisions in the church over personalities. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, all of that kind of things. And so there's a lot of teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians that help us to understand, don't do this. Israel's our example. Don't do this. Well, now he's going to say, hey, let's talk about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a very special service. It is so special service that we don't do it like every week because it's a special service. He said, now, when you come together, don't you understand about the Lord's Supper as far as the representation of the bread and the representation of the grape juice? Now, the only thing that would represent the blood of Jesus Christ is what Jesus said, the fruit of the vine. He didn't say alcohol anywhere in the scripture. There's nowhere in the Bible that it talks about an alcoholic beverage. That would be, by the way, that is a process that would be a fermentation. That is a picture of sin throughout the whole. So you can't do that. fruit of the vine. That's what Jesus said. That's 100% what we would call grape juice. And that represents the blood of Jesus Christ. The bread, we don't eat crackers or M&Ms or Lifesavers. Brother, I read an article. Somebody sent me an article. It was actually Butch Schrope sent me this thing where over somewhere, you know, COVID is so bad, we're going to have the Lord's Supper and we're going to have Lifesavers as the bread and drink Coca-Cola. That is as wicked from hell as you could actually get. And I'd tell that guy too if I had a chance. We are so, I mean, the bread has to be no leaven. Just like no alcohol in the grape juice, there can be no leaven in the bread because leaven represents sin. That's why when I'm not talking about the Lord's Supper, but the bread I eat, it's got leaven in it and ham on it. Or bologna if things are not going well. But when it's the Lord's Supper, that's a representation of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we participate in the Lord's Supper as a church, you know what we're doing? We're in fellowship with Christ. We're in fellowship with correct doctrine. We are remembering the sacrifice He made for us. We are in fellowship with Him. This is a reminder in the fellowship that the cup of the blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread, communion of the body of Christ. We are all partakers of that one bread. That's what the text says. And when we come together as a church, we're fellowshipping around our salvation. We're fellowshipping around our faith, our church doctrine, what we believe. You understand that? That's why it's always been amazing to me for people, and again, I just want to say this, it's amazing to me that people can understand the truth that if you're visiting and you come into our church and we're having a business meeting like we had on Wednesday night, I have never had anybody would come up to me and say, "Now, Pastor, I realize y'all are having a business meeting tonight, and I'm not a member of the church, and I know y'all are going to vote on something. Can I vote?" I've never had anybody ask me that.
That's right.
But yet the Lord's Supper, which is a church ordinance, and you have to have certain responsibilities and certain privileges in that. You have to be a member of the church. But yet there would be people that would come from the outside and say, "Can I participate in the Lord's Supper?" No. This is a local body of believers. You need to participate that where your membership is. Well, it's almost like people actually think that voting on buying a van is more important than the Lord's Supper. Well, let me just tell you, the Lord's Supper is a communion. It's a fellowship around our salvation. We're reminded of the body and the blood. We fellowship around the death, the burial, and the blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul reminds the Corinthian believers that taking of the Lord's Supper, the cup and the bread, means fellowship with Jesus Christ. Just like if you go and sacrifice to an idol, that's a sacrifice to the devil. Now there's cultures that are outside of ours that, you know, I've read and I've talked to people about how that they would take food and they would sacrifice it to their ancestors and all of this kind of stuff. And you know what Paul's saying? That is a sacrifice to demons. That is fellowshipping with the devil. But we need to understand that just before he's telling them that partaking of the meat offered to idols can, under some circumstances, be fellowship with demons, we must understand that we are not immune from the influence of demons. Does everybody understand this?
Right.
We are not immune as God's people from the influence of demonic forces.
Right.
When we willingly ignore the Lord's way and allow sin or things or ideas or something ungodly to enter into our life, it can be something very quickly we can start thinking more about than anything else, and it can become an idol. When we replace God with the things of Satan by setting up idols of any kind, we open up ourselves for demonic influence. I think about the church in the Jerusalem, and I go back to Acts chapter number 5 as an illustration. And it is a story about, really about Barnabas. And the Bible is introducing us to this man, Barnabas. And Barnabas is going to be a man that's going to greatly influence the Apostle Paul. It will be Barnabas that goes to Antioch. It will be Barnabas that will be the pastor of that church. It'll be Barnabas that will go down to Tarsus to seek for Saul. It'll be Barnabas that'll bring Paul, Saul, I'll call him Paul, will bring Paul back to Antioch. It will be Barnabas and Paul as the pastor and the assistant pastor. And there they are, and they're in fellowship together, and they're in the church. And then God would call them to be missionaries. That's the Barnabas that we're talking about. And Barnabas had sold a piece of land. Now you can go back and read this in Acts chapter 5 whenever you want. But he sells a piece of land. He gets saved by the grace of God. He sells a piece of land. He sells a portion of a piece of land in Cyprus. Does anybody understand what that's like? Go look up Cyprus. That'd be in the Eastern culture there. That'd be like Hawaii. Don't go to Hawaii right now. If you'd have to, you go to Hawaii, they make you quarantine for 14 days. Who wants to do that? I want to be outside. So he sells this land, and he brings it to the church. And he says, you know what? I want to be a blessing. And so he lays the money at the apostles' feet. He brings the money to church and said, I've sold a piece of land. If it can be used. And of course, you go through there and find out there was many needs. And they laid it at the apostles' feet. And, you know, they said, oh, Barnabas, boy, isn't he an encourager? He is one of the most encouraging men. He is just like the son of consolation. And you know what? There's a couple in the church that sees this going on. Their name is Ananias and Sapphira. So they go into the room one night and they said, you see all that? And by the way, listen, if you know the heart of Barnabas and you know the story, Barnabas didn't do it to be seen. He wasn't trying to receive any glory for himself. He was just trying to be a blessing to the church. But Ananias and Sapphira said, hey, I think we should get some glory around here. I mean, everybody else is getting glory. They're all patting old Barnabas on the back. How about we do that? But listen, here's what we'll do. We will agree together that we're going to take this portion of money and we're going to lay it at the apostles' feet. We're going to take it to the church, but then we're going to lie. And we're going to keep back part for ourselves. Well, the whole thing was theirs in the first place. But here's what I want you to understand. In the Bible, when Peter was confronting Ananias in Acts 5, here's what he said. Why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You know what Peter's saying it without saying it? He's saying, why are you fellowshipping with the devil? Ananias, along with Sapphira's wife, had the idol of greed. They had the idol of self-glory. They were more concerned about what people thought about them rather than, you know, what God thought about them. Barnabas was only doing it out of a heart of love. They were doing it out of heart of greed, and they were doing it out of heart of worship. And through the idol of their greed, Sapphira and Ananias left themselves open to being corrupted by Satan. In fact, the Bible says, Satan filled their heart to lie. Now, go to 2 John. Remember, you're supposed to already have your ribbon there. 2 John, verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, whenever you see deception and antichrist, you know what John is talking about here? He's talking about people who want to bring in false doctrine into the church. And if you don't believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, then you don't believe the doctrine of Christ. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, then you don't believe in the doctrine of Christ. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, then you don't believe in the doctrine of Christ. If you don't believe that He was virgin born, but He is the Son of God, that He was born of a woman, not of a man. If you don't understand that He is the only way of salvation, then you are deceived and you're part of false doctrine. If you believe that you can be baptized for salvation, false doctrine. If you believe in the Calvinistic philosophy, false doctrine. If you believe you can work your way to heaven, you're deceived. That's false doctrine. I mean, I'm just telling you. Because doctrine is the final test of what we believe. Then he goes in verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Don't be believing false doctrine. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. You know what he's saying? You're fellowshipping with the devil when you get involved in false doctrine. Evil deeds. Don't fellowship with the devil. You don't just fellowship with the devil by these little idols, but by any idol. So here's what God is saying through John, the beloved John. He said, even showing hospitality to those who promote false teaching causes us to participate or to fellowship with the demonic influence behind those teachings. Now that goes back to the Lord's Supper. We only allow people of our church family to participate in the Lord's Supper because those are the only ones that we're responsible for. To do that in any way and come to the Lord's table in true communion with the Savior and His people is impossible. When we involve ourselves in idolatry, we're involved with Satan without even recognizing it. Do you see the seriousness of the idea of Paul saying, flee idolatry? Flee away from it. Get away from it. Get away from false doctrine. Don't fellowship with it. Don't be hospitable to it. Because you're fellowshipping with the devil. Now the other example he gives is not only the Lord's Supper, but he also does Israel again, verse number 18. He says this, behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar? So this is a follow-up of the previous two verses about what constitutes fellowship. There's an example of the Lord's Supper, and then when the Israelites ate what was offered on the altar, they were partakers of the altar. That's what the text says. So in like manner, those who partake of the meat offered to idols can be said to be partaker of the altar of idols. Now, I'm not going to get into that, but if you took, that's why Paul's going to say now later on, if they know that this meat is there offered to idols, don't participate in that. If they offer the meat to idols, they scoop it up and they take it down to the shambles or down to the market and they sell it as cheaper, okay, don't ask any questions when it comes to the meat, but if you know that this meat is partaker that's been idol worship and people have been saved out of idolatry, you got to be very careful with that kind of stuff. So what I say then, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with the devils. Verse 20, Paul is begging and pleading with the Corinthians to stay away from anything that would be considered fellowship with demons. Doctrine, ideas, philosophies, thought processes, careers, fear, comfort. You can't have it both ways. So here's what he says. You can't be in fellowship with the devil and at the same time be in fellowship with the Lord. And be very careful about coming to church on Sunday and trying to fellowship with God. And then on Monday start fellowshipping with the devil for 5 or 6 days. And then expect to come back and fellowship with God again on Sunday. There were those in the church who had deceived themselves in thinking they could eat freely from idol tables and still be in fellowship with God. Somebody's beeping. Now here's what he says lastly. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? That's what he says in verse number 22. Somebody got a hearing aid? Check your hearing aid. Check your beeper. Check something. Okay. Check your breathing machine. Are you still breathing, brother? All right. All right. Get well, then turn it off. It ain't going to do you no good anyway. And if you fall over, we'll have somebody do mouth to mouth. It's still beeping, brother. Trying to eat from both tables produces great error. Here's what God says. It provokes me to jealousy. Trying to eat at both tables provokes God. It's like a person trying to court two people at the same time. Somebody, at least one, is going to get very jealous. Think about it like that. Are we stronger than He? Provoking God is dangerous business. God is much stronger, more powerful than we are, and His wrath will flatten us to the ground in judgment. Idolatry is inconsistent. Idolatry is demonic, and idolatry is an offense to God. It will provoke the Lord to jealousy. God has a holy jealousy because He will have no competition. Now go to Deuteronomy 32, and that's your sign that we're almost done. Deuteronomy 32. And look down at verse number 9. I'm going to read a good portion of Scripture here, because I want you to understand the Lord deals strongly with idolatry, because nothing is more offensive. There is nothing more offensive to Him than idolatry. That's why He spends the first two of the Ten Commandments talking about having no other gods before Me, not take My name in vain. And here's what I do believe. I believe that idolatry in any form is probably the greatest sign of unbelief, because we're believing something else more than we're believing God. Now think about it. We believe comfort more than we believe God. Maybe God don't want us to be comfortable. We serve fear more than we serve faith. There's no place for fear. We serve education more than we good God. We serve sports, manna, money, career. We serve that many times more than we do God. And God don't like competition, because God's jealous. So in His instruction to the nation of Israel, I want you to listen to what He said in verse number 9. He said this, "For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye." He's talking about Israel here now. "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them up on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep." Now, do you get the idea? Maybe we can trust God with everything. "With fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape." Well, there's a good illustration right there. And this Jeshurun, like a pet name, or, you know, like a pet name for Israel. That's why we would say. "But Jeshurun was waxed fat and kicked, and art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when God saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith." Faith, not fear. "They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountain. Do you see the problem with fellowshipping with the devil? I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend my arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with... Whoa, 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 wait. When they were in the loving kindness and they were serving Him, God was giving them everything they needed. Now they've turned to idol worship. And they shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without or outside the sword will come in, and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. I said, I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. Now let me just put this in our perspective. What? You think there's something better than God? You think your idol is going to give you the satisfaction that you think it'll give you, but yet it'll bring destruction? Oh, that they were wise, verse 29, that they understood this, and they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except the rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Now here's what you need to understand, folks. Doesn't matter whether it's Old Testament or whether it's New Testament, the Lord deals strongly with idolatry because it's an offense. Amen. To a holy and righteous God, who is the only one is to be worshipped and the only one to be praised. And to take anything and try to replace it with God is a sign of, I don't believe God. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe God. Either we trust and worship God or we trust and worship the idol. Listen to me this morning. Flee idolatry and don't fellowship with the devil. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't fellowship with the devil. If you've trusted in some other way other than Christ for salvation, that's idolatry. It's worship of the devil. Come to God. Worship Him. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the truth that's contained within the Scripture and this idea of idolatry and the assets that we have as church, as a preacher, as a Holy Spirit of God, the Bible. We have these assets in our life. We have examples of Israel. We have the example of the Lord's Supper. We have these examples not to fall into idolatry, not to go away from something that would cause us to worship something more than God. Oh God, I pray we would flee idolatry and understand that's fellowship with the devil. God, speak to our hearts as only You can. And Lord, You can convict in the area of our life that needs to be dealt with in this moment and this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What page, Brother Brian?
472.
We're going to sing today, 472. If you want to do business with God, you do business with God as we sing. It's bad. Listen, the Spirit of God, that's an asset in your life. The Word of God, it's an asset in your life. The preaching of God's Word, that's an asset. To know that you have a Bible that you can read, that's an asset. Don't follow the devil. Don't fellowship with him in any way. No false doctrine. Don't do it. I'll sing the next verse.